Welcome to our third episode. In this episode, we are going to be speaking about the bilingual problem.
The struggle of balancing two languages.
As Olim, it's something that you will encounter no matter where you come from. If it's English, French, Hebrew, or well, no, if you speak Hebrew before, you won't have the problem. But if you come from anywhere around the world and you haven't spoken Hebrew
At a fluent level
with the surroundings before, you will probably have a bilingual, at least, situation. So in this episode, we are going to be encountering a few Hebrew words. We decided that we are going to explain them from now on in the intros. And the words for this episode are going to be, the first word is Ba'ayot Shlifa,
which means recall memory
in English. The second word will be sababa,
which is like, it's, you know, if you want to say great or cool, but also can be a word of agreement.
The third word that we're going to be using is mak. Mak is a squad commander in the military. It's a mefaked kita.
The next word is tarbuti.
Tarbuti is cultural.
Anything relating to...
Yeah. It's cultural.
Yeah.
That's right.
The next word is machlaka.
Machlaka is a platoon.
And tachlis, which means basically.
It means basically. It's a slang word, but it can mean...
like short and to the point.
Short and to the point. It's very...
basic.
Basic. Yeah, it's just get to the lowest level of something. Tachlis. Don't go around.
The next word is Gerin Tzabar, which is the name of the program that I made Aliyah through.
Gerin Tzabar is a program that, if you listen to the previous episode, you encountered the story. It's a program of youth that make Aliyah and join the army in Israel. The next word is Mirkaz. Mirkaz is center, but in the context that we used it, it's the center of Israel, the central region. It's between Hadera and Gadera. It's mostly around the Tel Aviv metropolitan, and it's the area where most of the Israelis reside.
I think, like, when you say Merkaz, people automatically think Tel Aviv, like, or talk about Tel Aviv.
But the general borders of the Merkaz are between Hadera and Gadera.
Mm-hmm. The next word is kolkinetim, which means electric scooters.
It means scooters, but we used it in the context of electric
scooters. Of the electric ones that scooters. You can rent here. And the last word is chaval, which means, like, what a shame. So that's all the words that we used in this episode that we thought you guys would like to have translated that are in Hebrew.
You're more than welcome to write them down. You're more than welcome to wait and hear them appear in the episode. As we said, this is the bilingual episode, and we really hope you enjoy. The bilingual life. Interesting topic.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is completely real. I'm thinking of making a shirt with completely.
Completely, yeah.
And
that should be
our
thing.
It could be the Moishy thing.
We should make merch.
We should. Say. What do you guys think? Should we make merchandise? Sell shirts?
Not yet. No.
Not yet. Maybe in the future.
If people will start listening.
When people start listening.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first subject that we're going to be covering in the Bilingual Life episode is... the recall
memory,
the memory recall. In Hebrew, it's called Bayot Shlifa. What actually happens is you try say a word, a description of something, and you cannot do it, and you're stuck. And the way to deal with it is to describe the object or the situation that you were trying to say. And then, for example, if I was talking about a coffee mug, to say a coffee mug is my problem at the moment, I can't bring it up, like I can't pronounce the word for some reason, And then I have to describe the coffee mug. So I'd be like, Gal, can you bring over the...
Yes.
You know...
The
thing that you put the coffee in with
coffee
the handle.
Oh, a coffee mug.
Yes, a coffee mug. Perfect.
Okay.
So that happens a lot, especially when you're bilingual, because you try translate certain words, especially when you don't speak the second language. For example, for me, English, or for you, I'd assume English now. Maybe in the past it would be Hebrew.
I started to, let's say, have trouble remembering words in English, because I speak Hebrew more now on a day-to-day basis. So I guess when I lived in the States, it would be Hebrew, but now I guess I could say it's English.
Yeah, so the less often used language is usually one where you or we have this problem, or anybody that's bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to deal with it is ready to describe the word. And a lot of people seem to not know this and tend to have a hard time dealing with it for the first time they become bilingual. So
it's frustrating.
Nachon.
When you want to say something and you don't know how, but you know how. But at that moment, you don't know how.
It's on the tip of your tongue.
And then, 3 days later, I find myself, I don't know, in the middle of something. And all of a sudden, oh, yeah, that's the word. And then it's just not relevant anymore. And that's really annoying.
It is. It's pretty frustrating. And the way to deal with it, if any of our listeners are bilingual, is just describe it. Try describing it and don't get excited, because it's something natural that happens. I don't know the reason why. We can look it up. But the brain just, for some reason, cannot bring the word up. And in Hebrew, it's called Bayot Shlifa. In English, it's called...
Recall memory.
And yeah, so we both tend to have this problem. And just the way to deal with it is really describing it. And if you guys have situations where you had it and now this helps you, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah,
and
tell us. Tell us about the times that you fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
If you are in situations that happens to you in the future, just use this tip, you know?
It's actually helpful for me too, because I never thought about that solution. I just kind of dealt with it.
Yeah, because usually what you do is you look for different words to describe what you were trying to describe. So
mm-hmm.
instead of saying a coffee mug, you'd say a coffee glass or a coffee cup.
Yeah.
Or anything else. But sometimes you're in a situation that you can't describe anything of the four.
It's just that word.
It's just...
And you don't have it.
Not appearing. So, yeah. Funny situations. So, bilingual is a way of life. And there are more than one funny situations that we encounter daily
mm-hmm.
because of being bilingual. Do you want to give us one?
I just know at school, when I went to high school in New York, I was like, how do I explain this? I was in a group of people, in a friend group of people where we were all first generation Americans. So I had friends who were Asian, Hispanic, etc. And we all spoke English to each other, but sometimes I wanted to say something and I only knew how in Hebrew. And then I just ended up sounding kind of dumb. Because in Hebrew you can say, sababa, for example. And in English there's no word for sababa. So I would just be like, okay. And it sounds really stupid. It sounds really dumb. So I felt like I couldn't really express myself or what I was thinking at that moment. Because I had the vocabulary in Hebrew and not in English. So, yeah. That happened a lot. Even with other words besides sababa. That was really the main thing. I always tried to think of how to say something in English that I had in my head in Hebrew and I couldn't. And I just ended up, using different words and building the sentence completely differently. And then it just didn't sound as good.
So I found that when people ask me about the army service or the military service, I have to try to describe things.
That's so hard.
And you come to these funny, way around to describe something that in Hebrew you'd say, for example, mak, which is a class commander in a platoon.
That sounds weird also.
So it's the guy under the platoon leader. He's not an officer. He's a sergeant, usually, but he might be a corporal. And since you get into all these weird definitions where it's just it's a muck. Everybody knows
simple.
What it is. And then there's also the, you know, I was going to say travel. You see the problem with the recon. Tarbuté?
Yeah.
What's
cultural?
Tarbuté? Cultural. You see, that's the bonding.
Wow, this happened live.
So, you know, there's also the cultural stuff where I'll try to explain something South African.
Oh, okay.
In Hebrew. And even other English speakers can't help you out because the majority of them won't know, for example, what biltong is.
What?
Biltong is...
What the hell does that mean?
It's really similar to American beef jerky.
Okay.
So it's dried meat. It's just much better than the American beef jerky.
I don't even like beef jerky, to be honest. So it's okay. You can hate on American beef jerky. I'm not going to be offended. It's okay.
Anyway, so stuff like that. So you try to explain it, and there's even like worse examples, and you stuck looking for help from the English speaker next to you.
And no one knows.
But no one knows to help you out, and it's like, help?
Nope. No one's there. Yeah. Even when I was in summer camp, like sleepaway camp, I was a camp counselor, and I met people from Australia, New Zealand, England, etc., and even the slang between us was so different, and I didn't understand a lot of it, but it's the same language.
Yeah, and that's
that
speaking English. Yeah,
yeah,
you know, and it does feel somewhat bilingual, but it's not like when you go to sleep at night speaking Hebrew, and then the next morning
mm-hmm.
you speak in English.
Yeah.
So in my house where I grew up, as we said in the episodes before, my parents used to speak English at home.
Okay.
And between us at home, we spoke English. Now,
mm-hmm.
my parents didn't know much Hebrew, and at school or between friends, we used to speak Hebrew. So a funny story that's connected to this as well is that we used to sit and play Xbox in our house in Chespin, where I grew up. And then, you know, you'd be playing, and then someone shot you, and the guy would be like, "Oh, shit!" And I'm like, no, you can't curse in English in this house. You have to curse in Hebrew. So throughout my childhood, my friends used to curse in Hebrew in my house.
Wow.
Because they knew they couldn't.
Hebrew even worse.
Yeah, because they knew they couldn't curse in English. It was the funniest situation because all my friends come over. I'm like, just remember, no cursing in English. Because, you know, people automatically go, shit. We need to censor this episode.
Yeah, I think we do.
So I grew up speaking Hebrew in the environment,
mm-hmm.
but speaking English at home, which is the exact opposite
of
you.
Me. Exactly.
You spoke Hebrew at home.
Yeah, so when I went to school or just, you know, with my friends or anywhere outside of my house, I'd speak English. And with my parents, I would speak Hebrew, and my parents spoke Hebrew to me. But with my brother, I spoke English because he just spoke English all the time, even with my parents. So I really had to switch a lot between... Like, even if I had friends coming over, I would speak to them in English. And then if my mom needed something or wanted to just call me or say something, I would switch back to Hebrew and then switch back to English to speak to my friends. So that happened in a matter of seconds. Like, it was instant. And even in the army... I had other people who were Olim Chadashim from America with me in my machlaka.
Platoon.
Okay. And I would speak English to them and then Hebrew to other people in my platoon or to my commanders, etc. So even in the army, I was switching between Hebrew and English all the time and then a little bit of Arabic because...
Yeah.
You know, if you listen to the previous episode, then you would know. So if you haven't, do that. But
go listen to the previous episode. It's really long.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Make some popcorn. So I'm always pretty much used to switching languages. Even when we go to university together, I speak to you in English and then to other people in Hebrew. So it's constant switching.
But sometimes... You know, it's easier to resort to English, and sometimes it's just easier to resort to Hebrew.
It totally depends.
There's situations where it's much more comfortable to speak Hebrew, and then there's situations where you like just want to cut the BS and you go just
Tachlis.
Tachlis.
Yeah.
Exactly. Another word, which means
like short and to the point, like basically.
Yeah, basically. It's a very close. It's basically, but it's more.
You say it when you want to say something in the most succinct way possible.
Succinct.
Okay? That's the only way that I know how to say it. It's like short and to the point in one word.
Okay? It's short and to the point in one word. Yeah. It's
that like SAT vocab. No, it's not even SAT vocab, but it's like a high level word, I guess.
Yeah.
So tachlis is like basically.
Pretty much. Anyway, so at our home, we used to speak Hebrew to our friends and to the environment and to my parents. And between the sisters, I've got three sisters, we spoke English. So there were a lot of situations where the whole family's at home with my parents. If they are in the conversation, we'll speak English. And then between the... Well, I'm the only brother, but between the siblings, mm-hmm. we'd be speaking Hebrew. Because
right.
it's much more comfortable because the interactions that we are explaining don't need translation.
Right.
So I'll be explaining what I did at school or what I did in the army, and my sister will be explaining what she did at work, and all the terms are in Hebrew.
It's just more natural that way.
So it's much more natural because you don't have to like think that extra millisecond of translating it.
Exactly. It might be a process of a millisecond, but it's a lot of work when it comes down to doing it all the time or even a lot.
Because you have to think about the words that you're going to say, which usually we don't do. You know, people don't usually think before they
talk. Yeah.
Which is something that we recommend you do.
Yeah.
But while translating and speaking, for example, I'll be speaking to you and I'll be in my head translating subjects from Hebrew like we do on this podcast,
mm-hmm.
it causes you to think what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And it's a really little small delay, but it's tiring. You have to think when what you're going to say.
Yeah, when you do it all the time, it gets tiring. It's exhausting. Because it's like, it's not difficult, but it's tedious.
And then comes the gibberish situations where you speak Hebrew
and English
and you explain something with English and you throw a word of Hebrew in the middle
and
you know, it usually happens when we are at home. So we'll be speaking English at home because my parents speak English or mostly English,
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, the surroundings all speak Hebrew. We all speak Hebrew. We all know the terminology. It's just more comfortable to speak English at home because it's more comfortable for everybody. And then we'll be throwing subjects like, oh, you know, the machlaka that we were in. And they're like, machlaka.
The what?
You know, platoon. But you throw the word and we don't translate it because we're at home. And then sometimes you're in a situation where you're like, did you follow what I just said? And the person in front of you will be like, no.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, sure, no.
No. I'm like, why not? It's like, well, halfway through you start speaking another language.
And I kind of...
And I don't know what you're speaking about.
That happened to me a lot when I was in the Gerin, when I did Gerin Tzibar and I lived in the kibbutz. Because we were all Americans who came to Israel with backgrounds of speaking Hebrew at home. So we really mixed a lot of Hebrew and English, even into one sentence. It would be like half and half. Or when I was in the army and I spoke English and Hebrew to people who understood both languages, it was pretty much just like a mix of everything all the time. So I found myself a lot splitting up Hebrew and English into the same sentence.
Did you find that when you were in the army, so at your base in Hebron, you'd be trying to explain something or you'd get into a stressful situation and then you'd resort to one of the two languages?
Yes, absolutely. I'm really happy you actually brought that up. I really just go straight into English when I'm nervous or if I'm angry or just like in a stressful situation. I just speak English. Like, it's really weird, but I can't speak Hebrew if I'm really nervous or like stressed out. I'll just be like ranting about something in English all of a sudden and I forget Hebrew.
Do you completely forget Hebrew?
I don't forget it, but it doesn't register in my head.
So you're like, you have that little block where you're like...
It's like an off switch.
I'm speaking English now. You will deal with me while I speak English because this is my clearest.
Yeah, kind of.
And then when everything calms down, we can go back to Hebrew where you can ask me what I meant.
I think that didn't really happen to me because, like, I didn't have the option of saying deal with it because I was lucky enough to really always be surrounded by people who know English.
Yeah.
So even if that happened to me, I didn't have to worry about them not understanding me. But I know now that not everybody understands English very well in Israel.
Yeah.
So I really was lucky enough to not have to deal with that problem. But now I try to really control that because not everyone knows English.
I do find that in Israel, if you speak only English, you might find it hard to live here.
Absolutely.
But it's really easy to travel here if you speak English. Like, the man in the street knows how to interact with you if you speak English. If you're in Tel Aviv, you can do everything. Everything's in English. The Merkaz area, everything really, really is in English. It's accessible. There's even certain apps for the coconutum.
The electric scooters.
The electric scooters.
Yeah. Like Lime and Bird. Are there different ones here?
Yeah. What are they? There's Wind. I think it's called a coconutum shitofim. This isn't working.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't even know what that is. I think there's just Lime and Bird here.
Yeah. So if you come to visit Israel for a tour or for a visit, the majority of the tour guides do know English. The man in the street probably can interact with you in English.
The problem is if you live here or want to live here and you don't speak Hebrew, the biggest problems are going to the bank or just anything bureaucratic. Even in the supermarket, depends where you live, the person at the counter, at the checkout, might not know English.
Yeah. So there will always be someone around that can speak English, that can help you out. But sometimes it gets to stressful situations.
Yeah.
For example, in the bank where they want something from you and they just can't explain it and you're like, you know, I can't deal with this at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Please bring me someone who speaks English. It's the international trade language. You know, bring someone over. The bureaucracy in Israel is pretty rough.
Yeah.
Even for Hebrew speakers.
I think that should be a completely different episode.
That will be. That will have an episode.
There's so much to say
about
that.
Bureaucracy in Israel.
Yeah.
But as a traveler, if you come to Israel and you want to travel, you will find it very, very simple and not very tough to travel in English. In the majority of the country, in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem, everybody speaks English. In Tel Aviv, everybody speaks English. If you go down south to Eilat area,
there'll be English speakers.
There'll be lots of English speakers. The places where you'll find less English speakers will be up north.
Or even like Ashdod, Ashkelon, places like that, if you want to go closer to Gaza.
So they're in the peripheral areas around the main metropolitans. You'll probably find less English speakers, but in the four main metropolitans, that being Haifa, Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and Be'er Sheva.
And Eilat.
Well, Eilat.
Oh, yeah, well, it's not a main city.
It's not a main metropolitan.
I just think of it as like main because it's like touristy.
It's very lonesome, so you know, it's isolated and it's very touristy. So Eilat's somewhat of the Israeli Vegas.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, without the casinos and stuff like that. But it's a beach city, although Vegas isn't a beach city.
No, it's like
but
a spring break-y type of place.
Nahon, completely. It's a spring break place. It's got hotels. It's got a beautiful, beautiful sea. It's got the Red Sea.
It's got Funjoya.
It's got the Funjoya.
I never went to, but I've heard a lot about it.
It's got great parties.
Mm-hmm.
It's got amazing, amazing Tiulim, hiking areas.
Are we here to market Eilat?
Market Eilat. No, I love Eilat. For years, I didn't like Eilat much, but since I started scuba diving, Eilat's better. Like, the Red Sea is considered one of the best diving sites in the world because it's pretty much a warm pool in the background. There's beautiful sea life and it's a protected area, so it's just fun and the water's warm the majority of the year and there's not a lot of currents.
Don't be mad. I only went to Elat once.
No, I get
that. That was like years ago.
Because I didn't go there for a really long time, but I had a good time when I went there. So speaking English in Elat is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking English in Israel in general is...
It's possible.
It's possible if, but you, in some areas if you trust, but if you want to live in Israel, speaking English is a barrier.
Yeah.
It's a barrier, and it reminds me of when I was young, you know, my parents at home used to speak, they spoke Afrikaans. They're both from South Africa. I wasn't old enough to learn Afrikaans when I was there. But they spoke Afrikaans when they didn't want us to understand anything. So if it was between the parents, they'd speak Afrikaans.
Mm-hmm.
And the way how they spoke Afrikaans only when they wanted to is, you know, somewhat of equivalent to speaking English in Israel. You can't get around with it. Like, they couldn't interact with me, but you can speak it between yourself and keep it as a somewhat secret language. I mean, everybody does understand English in Israel. It's not like Afrikaans.
But a lot of people don't.
But a lot of people don't, especially the bureaucratic part of it.
My parents didn't have that. They just spoke Hebrew and English, and I did too. So they didn't really have a secret language.
And how did you deal with their secrets?
They just whisper things like in the kitchen. Like, it'd be late at night when me and Zeev would go to sleep. And then I don't know, if I got up in the middle of the night to get a drink or go to the bathroom or something, I'd just hear them like talking kind of quietly so we wouldn't hear.
God, do this again.
Yeah, they're totally like shitting on me. Or like my brother. Talking shit. No, I'm kidding. But they didn't really have a secret language, so there's no secrets in my house.
That's what you think.
Yeah, that's what I thought at the time.
And today?
Well, I don't live at home anymore, so they can talk about whatever they want. It doesn't have to be a secret. So that's wonderful for them.
Yeah, so other things that being bilingual bring up is that in a society where you speak Hebrew, for example, a lot of times people can't deal with you speaking English because they don't know what you're saying and they fear it. They feel threatened by the language that you speak.
They feel patronized.
Probably. I think it's more threatened than patronized. I think people are afraid of what you're saying if you're saying something about them or relevant to them. I found that a lot with my parents when they made Aliyah. People didn't come to speak English with them because they felt that their English wasn't good enough.
So it's also like a thing of confidence. Like, if they don't have enough confidence to have a conversation with someone in English, they're just not going to try from the beginning.
Yeah. And then when I was growing up in a Hebrew society, people used to come over to me when I spoke English and like, "You're in Israel, speak Hebrew. You don't need to speak English."
But that happened to me too.
But that's a really... You know, it happens a lot growing up as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Less as an adult. As an adult, people will approach me if they don't understand what I said. And I'd be like, "You know, what did you just say? That's, you know, you've got a really high level of English. I wish I was like you."
Wow, you just made yourself like into this like all-knowing...
Mamash lo.
No, I'm kidding. Actually, that happened to me in the States. Like, I would speak Hebrew to my mom on the phone, let's say if I'm at school or something. And my friends, as a joke, would be like, "Oh, speak English." But, you know, with every joke, there's a little bit of truth.
Yeah.
And it felt weird because, especially because, like I said, I was in a friend group of like mostly first-generation Americans, which meant that most, if not all of my friends spoke different languages with their parents and in general. So it felt kind of ironic in a way when I would speak to my mom in Hebrew and they'd be like, "Oh, speak English." Like, they said it in a joking way, but...
Of course, but when people... So when I'm in a situation where I can't understand, I'd be interested to know what the person's talking about, if it's relevant to me. Like, I can understand where they come from, but again, if my parents are much more fluent in English, I'm not going to speak Hebrew to my parents when half the words I say they won't understand and need explanation.
Exactly. That makes sense.
Even
at work, I have friends that are American and we speak English to each other because, like you said, it's easier and it makes more sense. And, you know, we'd hear people around us saying, oh, why don't you speak Hebrew? You guys are so condescending. And I'm like, we're not condescending just because we know another language. Why don't you learn another language and then you won't feel like someone's being condescending?
Well, fair enough. But then the other point is that I just can, you know, I can, like, I can interact much better in English, for example.
Depends with who and about what you're talking about.
Depends with who and depends on the conversation subject, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can interact much better in English and I don't need to translate stuff and think about stuff and work harder to converse.
So why not make your life easier?
Exactly. And not just my life, the person that's in front of me that I'm...
Right.
Conversation. Blah, 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 blah.
That you're talking with.
Talking with.
I find in Israel that when people don't know something, many times instead of putting the effort to learn, they just kind of play it off and make fun of whatever they don't know. Like how people at work would tell me that I'm condescending because I speak English. It's just chaval.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
instead
chaval
of,
is a shame.
Instead of, yeah, because instead of poking fun at something, why don't you educate yourself and learn, you know? And English, okay, I can't say this because I speak English, you know, as a first language, but from what I know, English isn't that hard to learn.
English is very useful. I mean, there's a lot of different weird rules and stuff like that, but it's so accessible and there's so many
everything is
ways
in English now.
Of studying English. You can watch TV shows, you can
listen
read
to
books.
Music.
For example, a lot of my friends that study English, because they need for the university, it's a basic level, you need Hebrew and English, a certain level,
yeah,
for education in Israel or higher education. And a recommendation that I give to them, or you, if you are a Hebrew speaker and you are listening to us, is take the Harry Potter books, okay? And this is weird.
Kind of
but,
a jump, because Harry Potter is not very simple.
Okay, so listen to this. So take the first Harry Potter book and read it. Read it slowly, translate what you need to read that you don't understand, sorry. And read it until you finish the first book, The Sorcerer's Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for reading Harry Potter's books and even carrying on afterwards to the other books is because J.K. Rowling has a lot of words that she invented.
Okay.
The names of the spells,
right,
the names of the potions,
people,
names of the names of the people. A lot of the names of the people give you a general idea of what the person is like. They give kind of a direction. And the reason why I recommend this is because reading words that don't exist, reading names that don't exist, help you understand context.
That's interesting.
Because what will happen is you are reading, Harry did some spell by the name of who knows what on someone else, and then the glass shattered. So the guy who only speaks Hebrew will understand Harry, okay, that's a name, we read his name a lot. Did, okay, understood that spell, okay, we know spell, but then he doesn't know
the name of
the
spell.
The name
of the
and
person.
Stuff that happened after that. And then glass shattered. So he has to understand that this spell, by the name of whatever, causes the glass to shatter.
So it helps like your critical thinking.
Exactly.
And
imagination.
And
it helps you to understand how sentences are written in English, as opposed to Hebrew, for example. And then when you approach other writings or tests or unseen texts, you can understand the context. So a guy did something to this, that, and the other, and this is the reaction. Okay, great. I know context. I don't even have to understand
the word.
The word.
Exactly. That's what I do when I read Hebrew. I just put things together by context.
And if you understand context in most of the language, I think it'll be in all the languages, but I'm not a, you know, a
language
professor. Mamash law. If you understand context, you can get by very well.
I agree, based on my experience also. But
yeah.
I think, as much as I agree with your tip, I think that in order to start reading Harry Potter, you have to have like some experience reading English first. Because Harry Potter is kind of a step.
Although the first book is written for children, so...
Well, I haven't read the books since like
middle school. Like, go back and read them. The other day, I purchased the 7 books.
Oh, wow.
Them. I've got them on my shelf, above my bed.
So I'll borrow one from you.
You're more than welcome to. And they're really fun. They're nice. They're great. Like, I think my favorite one is Probably the fifth.
I think my favorite book and favorite movie was the third.
The third? The third is really good, yeah. It's really good. Yeah, so being bilingual. That was a full-on episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys have any experiences, we only touched the tip of the iceberg, but if you guys have any experiences, if you want to share anything with us, if you want to ask us anything,
tell us also funny things.
Yeah, we'd love to hear funny things. Like, I think we'll do a funny episode maybe one day, like what people respond to us.
If people send us enough comments / questions,
we can do a Q&A episode.
Gladly do a Q&A.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, where can they find us?
Well, good thing you asked. We have a lot of places where you can find us. Mainly, our email is hafhpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if you have any comments, a response, or criticism,
questions, anything,
please send it to our email, which is, again,
hafhpodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Spotify podcast, which is the same name, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and a Facebook page, Home Away From Home Podcast. So you can reach us at all of those platforms. Again, send us any questions, comments, anything you want to tell us on our Facebook page or our email. And we'd love to read and answer anything you want to send us.
And do send in. Don't be ashamed, especially if you are Olim or if you're planning on making Aliyah. Send us your comments. Send us your questions. We'd love to answer them. And we're improving with time. So if you have any criticism about what you heard or the technical sides, we'd love to hear that as well.
Anything is welcome.
So,
That's it.
I think that wraps that one up.
Yep.
We'd love to hear from you guys. Have a great day.